keep it on through there. So while we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord gave something to me. John, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like John to come up front. So I don't know if you guys realize this. I want you to stand right over here for me. I don't know if you realize this, but we got three pastors that have pastored this church right here with us. But I'm not feeling it on my heart as much to pray for John as to thank the Lord for this man, right? The Lord has been so good to give us you, and I am so blessed to do it. So I get the privilege. John doesn't know how much of a privilege it is to me, but I get the privilege of helping serve one of God's people here. And no greater man in my eyes other than Jesus to be able to serve in body and flesh. And I feel like when Jesus said, if the world will know that you are mine, so when God's recognizing the Christians and the world is recognizing, they'll recognize through the way that we love one another. And John, I think, sometimes thinks that I'm the one serving him and he's not giving back, but he has given so much to me over the years, priceless things that never fade. And you know when you give a gift to your fellow brothers and sisters, it's an unfading, timeless gift. And so I just want to thank God, and I think you do too. Thank God for preserving and giving us such an almighty testimony and blessing. So with Micah here with us and these three men, would you guys stand with me, please, as we just give God thanks? So lift up your hands, and we just want to give God thanks for what he's done. Lord, we want to thank you so much. Jesus, what an amazing thing that you have given us life and that you have imparted to us years of faithful testimony. And Lord, none of us are with any exempt of the needs of your provision. And so, Lord, thank you for storing the gift and the power of that in John's life. Thank you, Lord, for preserving him in his willingness to submit to the call of God to support and to defend this country and stand the ground for it. And thank you, Lord, for the many ways, in unseen and untold, but the many ways in which you've preserved his physical existence spiritually to empower him for what you've done in so many years. God, thank you, Lord, for doing that in his life. Thank you, Lord, for the service to this church and to the members of this body who've been here longer than I have. Lord, preaching the gospel, sharing that, and so many lives touched, so many countless souls, Lord, ministered to, not just directly, but indirectly from your hands through his life. And so, Lord, I just want to honor you and praise you, Lord, with the greatest extremity of my life. And we want to raise a hallelujah this morning, a hallelujah to the King of Kings, a hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, a hallelujah to the God of all gods. Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. And we see that, Lord, in the life of John, Lord, and how faithful you've been in his life. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for your goodness. And Lord, we see that all over this congregation. But today we just want to recognize that. Thank you for your faithfulness to this very day to have three of your pastors, Lord, for this church. God, we thank you that we were all one to begin with, God. But Lord, in the end, you're the one that gets the praise. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you. Amen and amen. Put your hands together and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, it is my honor, my blessing to have Micah here with us today. And we have had, the Lord has given us a bond from the beginning. I remember when family came, and I think I've shared this before, when his family first came and it was kind of the presentation of ministry, I remember inviting them to our house. And providentially, God had nothing else for them to do that day except for to come to our house. And anyway, we were extremely blessed, and I remember father to father and family to family running around with the kids in the front yard and playing. And I remember there was this powerful spiritual connection at that moment, and I cannot forget it. And we have shared that from the day that we got started even until now, and I am just favored. You know, so many of our missionaries and workers, I don't know so personally. but I have gotten a very personal touch. And you know, this is very special to me because for me, there's road marks in our life in close relationship, and that's why we need not just friends, but we need brothers and sisters in Christ to be there with us. And mile markers along the road of life and spiritual growth has been His voice, His prayers, our time together. And so it is my honor, one of my greatest honors, to be able to have Him share with you today. So, Micah, please come on up and give Him your recognition today. Amen.
Not be the man of God I am without your influence and your support. I'm trying my hardest.
I'm trying to make you cry.
No, you are a man of honor, and you honor others far beyond what we deserve. So thank you. Yeah, Pastor James's recollection of that story together, one of the highlights of my life was that afternoon. You know, when you're seeking the Lord for direction in your life, and you come to that point of surrender, you really say, all right, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. You never know where He's going to take you. But there's one promise that has always sustained us in those moments when the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a trustworthy Father. And if you haven't known an earthly Father to be trustworthy, then the Lord God will blow your socks off with His love and faithfulness. And so lean into Him. This morning we're going to be looking at John 15. You can start the slideshow there, Isaac. Wanted to kind of give you a quick show of this is our family. So down front center is Haven. She's six. In the car seat is Ariana, our newest. So those of you who knew us here, you haven't met her yet, but we're hoping to come in August, so you'll get to see the whole family at the end of August. Shiloh is my oldest. She's holding the baby there. And then Jamin with the super suave hat. Lily, the little mini-me of my wife, Michelle. And Gabriel, who is just as crazy as I am. The Lord's blessed us. We plan 2.5 children. The American dream, 2.5 kids and a house with a picket fence. And, the Lord blessed us far beyond what we could have imagined. And Michelle and I celebrate 20 years of marriage this year. And I feel like we're just getting started, right? It just keeps getting better. The Lord called me into a unique level of serving Him 24 years ago. And been serving as a volunteer in our church and had gone to a summer camp, and the Lord said, you're going to be a preacher, you're going to travel the world, and a variety of other things. And so in those moments, as a young man entering into adulthood and just committing that, all right, Lord, wherever you ask me to go, I'll go. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. The cliff notes of we got to serve this community of believers and this valley for 6 years, from 2014 to 2020. And we got to move in a pandemic, so that was fun. But the Lord called us to the opposite corner of Oregon, so we've been down in Grants Pass from 2020 to present. And that was an eye-opener. I grew up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and that's where I met Jesus when I was 5 years old. I've always been in the church. And so to move to the I-5 corridor and the one of the drug trafficking capitals as far as a county is concerned for the state, child abductions were attempted in our city park the year that we moved there. The city parks were closed because of the needles that were being found in the wood chips of the park and blood splatters from people shooting up inside the play equipment. Like, wow, all right, Lord, here we are. Community that was 10 times this size, a church that was 10 times what we were used to. I had more volunteers I was trying to manage than we had in our congregation. I'm like, I am over my head. And yet the Lord was with us, and we've seen him do miraculous things, and we've seen broken hearts mended, blind eyes physically opened, lame walk, and those who were pronounced as if they are about to die having miraculous turnaround. And we've also seen death, we've seen loss, we've seen suicide. I've served as a public safety chaplain for about 4 years. Currently stepped down from that, but one of my last significant calls was a junior higher had taken his life in his room. And the Lord opened a door miraculously, and me and several others were invited to come to the school, and we got to spend 3 days with grieving students. So our story took us places that we never imagined, and God opened doors that we never even considered. And all the while, there's been this thread of looking to our peers, others in ministry. We've had our global workers who've stayed in our home. And there's always been this question of, are they okay? How are they doing? You know, you come from the hospital where a baby has passed, and the grieving mother and the grieving doctors and the nurses and Wallawa Memorial several years ago. How do I carry this weight? And then a fellow chaplain, I would call him and be able to pour the burden off. And the Lord consistently met us in those ways. And so this new season, we get to minister with Standing Stone. It's a ministry we'd never heard of until this last fall. And it basically gives us opportunity to come alongside people in ministry. In effect, we are the missionary to the missionary, the pastor to the pastor. And we get to take about 25 years of ministry leadership experience and experiencing God's faithfulness and come alongside people who are serving him in various places around the state and some around the world and encourage them to remember the faithfulness of God. The Standing Stone comes from the title from that Joshua chapter 4 story of crossing the Jordan River on dry land and setting up that pile of stones to remember the Lord's faithfulness by. And so we get to be a living reminder now, full time. And this is a support raising season, so we get to, just like the many of the global workers who've taken this same platform and shared the vision that God's given them, we're raising that financial support to be 100% available to go where God sends us, to come alongside people who are carrying the weight of a call and a vision from God for their community, as well as the burdens of that community that they're trying to help shoulder. And we get to partner with them and come alongside and take some of that weight off. Just as Pastor John was for me for so many times where I would not know what to do, and we'd take a hike together and go talk about it, or just the times where he was praying for me and we never talked, but the Lord answered those prayers and we saw breakthrough. So that's what we get to do. So that's us. Today, though, we're going to really dive into John 15 because it's been a foundation scripture for me. In this season of transition, the Lord led me to John chapters 14 through 17 and said, I want you to read this chapter every day this month. And I journaled every verse of every chapter from John 14 through 17 from starting in September last year till through December. And taking that slowing down time, there have been some incredible insights that the Holy Spirit has brought as we've just meditated on His Word. So what we're going to look at today is not only the product of a month of sitting with the Lord in these verses, but also the ongoing revelation that He keeps bringing. Now, aren't you glad that the Word of God is alive and active? And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can get right down to the meat of an issue. That's my paraphrase. And gets to the intentions and the thoughts of our heart that we didn't even know were there. So hopefully you're with me in John chapter 15. If you don't have a print Bible, you can use your phony one. Digital, okay, bad joke. My kids say I'm not funny. I'm sure I am, but they keep proving me, proving that they're right. Jesus has been describing this analogy we're going to jump into, but it's in the context of a conversation that's happening right before He goes to the cross. The disciples don't know what's about to happen. They've had their meal, and Jesus has already pointed out that Judas is going to betray Him. Judas has left the building. Jesus has already washed all of their feet, including Judas. Judas leaves, and they've had the communion elements, which is what we call it, but He had taken, redefined the nature of a covenant, this new covenant, and He gave this symbol and emblem of what that's going to be. And He's describing the relationship that will be to come. This is how we're going to relate here forward. And He starts off talking about in John chapter 14 that I'm going to leave, and then they all like quit paying attention, it seems. The disciples get hung up on, you're leaving? Wait, what? And they're not able to hear the other things. And so He's trying to help them understand what the relationship between He and them is going to look like in the future. And this is the analogy He gives. So He says in John 15, verse 1, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, well, what happens? He's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. To read it having not heard it before, has so many phrases that you just, you feel in your heart, you're like, ooh, what's he mean by that? Oh, I want to think about it. I wonder what that looks like. A lot of questions come to mind. So this grape picture here is last year's little itty-bitty cluster on our new grapevine. So in southern Oregon, grapes, apparently, it's a fantastic soil for grapes. And there, in the little community that we have settled in, there is vineyards that over the rolling hills, and it's very picturesque. And so I went to Home Depot, and I bought a little stick they call the grapevine. I thought, well, I wonder how long this is going to take. And so I plant this little thing that looks very pathetic and dead. And in the spring, little green shoots emerge. And just for so I understand my audience, has anyone grown grapes in here? Okay. All right. So I hadn't either. So I don't see anybody with any experience. So this is going to be really informative. And I am now the subject matter expert. Fabulous. So these little green things come, and then to my surprise, it's like, whoa, it's 2 feet long, 3 feet long. And there's these spindly little pencil lead things that they get to about as thick as a pencil. And these little green arms go everywhere. And it's like, wow, I did not expect that. And we had these tiny little grapes starting to form. And we got all excited. And then the chickens are like, ha-ha, thanks. I waited all summer for that. So frustrated. So then I'm reading in the book of, oh, yeah, what are you supposed to do with grapes? And, oh, we're supposed to cut it back. It's like, you cut 90% of the new growth off? That can't be right. I tend to think of myself as an expert in all things, even that I don't know and have never done. So my wife's a rule follower, though, because she's firstborn. And so she won out in the conversation. We discussed it, and it's like, is this really, like, okay, let's read a different source. So we read several things, and it's like, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. So we cut it back to a stick again. Seemed totally counterintuitive. And so the next year, that thing just took off. And so I've now trained it up an 8-foot post, and then now it has a lattice work. It's to climb over in front of our kitchen window. So now here's the setup of what we're about to discover together this morning. I'm sitting at my kitchen window, has the little white grid in it, right? And I'm looking out at this grape that is starting to spread across the arbor. And itty-bitty little tiny grapes, little clusters, are starting to poke through the lattice work. And the shade as the sun is streaming through in the early morning. And I'm reading John 15. I am the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So that first season, the little branch that had the itty-bitty fruits that my chickens stole, I cut that thing off completely. And the vine sent life to the limbs, and it grew again. So let's take a little video here. The next one, I believe, is my video. This is what it looks like 2 weeks ago. Go ahead. Just wait for it. Wait for the reveal. Here it comes. There's that little cluster. Look at all those little clusters. Clusters of grapes. Grapes and grapes and grapes. Not just two that the chickens can steal, but now they're 8 feet off the ground where the birds can't get them. Climbing into the sky. So let's leave it right there, Isaac. Okay. This vine has been in the ground for 3 years. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. He says, I'm the vine. My father's the vine dresser. A week and a half before I filmed this, there was really just, all the branches were only about this tall, poking out all over the place. And every 6 inches on a grapevine, it will try to produce fruit. So it's going to send two shoots. One will start to put a little flower cluster that becomes your grapes, 6 inches away from the trunk, if you will. And the next shoot from the same node, 12 inches away. So you have two or more clusters every 6 inches down the branch. That's crazy. Now, all the fuzzy, hairy stuff you saw, that's the vine. And then the last year's growth is a smooth brown limb. That's the branch. And those branches is where every 6 inches it sends these double shoots out and starts to fruit there. Now, if I were to leave all of it, every 6 inches of every single remaining thing is going to shoot out little nodes of growth, and it's going to try and produce fruit everywhere. Well, that grapevine can't, the root system can't sustain and can't produce that many grapes, so I'll end up with Tic Tacs if I leave it all. Yum. Okay. That's not what I want. I want a particular type of fruit, right? I don't want these miniature little chiclets for grapes. Like, I want, you know, Israel grapes. I want a big, big old cluster. You know, I want the promised land grapes. So what do? Last year, the vine had come all the way up to my lattice work, and I left two branches. And everywhere along that, every 6 inches are going to create the structure to hold the fruit. And that branch connected to the vine, the same life flowing through that vine is going to flow into the branch and produce fruit. We're there, right? Let's go to the next one, if we could. So this is what the clusters looked like 2 weeks ago. The flowers have formed, the bees have pollinated it, and now that's grapes. And they're just itty-bitty, like little pinheads. You know, the ballpoint pin tip, they're like that big. Okay, so he says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So 2 weeks ago, I look, and all up the stalk of the vine, I got little green things. Like, I don't want fruit down here. My chickens will eat it. And the cats will tear it down and all that. So I went and I pull all those little green things off. And then I get looking at the whole rack of the system. And I'm like, okay, last year this thing only had 10 clusters. And I didn't prune any of the fruiting stuff off. Now I have more than 50, I've counted, and there's still more coming. So I went through and I looked at what was tangled. And okay, this is too dense here. And I pulled this one off. I pulled two dozen fruiting little fingerlings off. And that video is after I've cleaned it. Cleaned it. Look at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So a few weeks ago, as I'm sitting there and I read verse 3 and I'm looking out the window and I have this pile of things that I have pulled that were fruiting, I pulled them off. I cleaned the vines to get the kind of fruit I wanted. And so that fruit would remain. Because if I leave it all, I'm not going to get the fruit that I wanted. So the cleaning that Jesus is talking about is there's a pruning that the Word of God has already done for you disciples of mine. Because remember, he's talking to his disciples right before he's about to be arrested. So there's already a pruning that's taken place. And I went, Judas has already left the building. The unfruitful branch, Judas, has already left. That's one pruning. But in this context, he's saying that you who are here are already clean because of the word. So I think it's that second time, because I did all the cutting of the dormant stuff last year. This year, the new things that on the healthy branches. I'm like, wait, not this one. Leave that one. Keep that one. Oh, don't want this one. I cleaned it up. So now good airflow, and I'm not going to get any mildew issues in there. This might be way too in-depth for some of you. I'm sorry. But I geek out on this stuff. I'm like, okay, so there's something about the Word of God that has already prepared me, His branch, to bear fruit. So, like, what's the word that I've received that has already cleaned, pruned me? So you're already clean. And the Lord was showing me, I spend so much of my time in self-improvement Christianity. I look at the things in my life, and I'm looking at myself going, oh no, I have all of this dead wood. And then as a branch, I'm trying to reach down and, you know, clean myself up. I shouldn't be mad at my coworkers. I shouldn't be competitive. I shouldn't be aggravated at the people on the side of the road. I shouldn't be this. I shouldn't be that. Oh, I lost my temper. And then we're, okay, Lord, help me. And even in our praying, we're trying to clean ourselves up. I'm trying to get rid of all the stuff that doesn't look like Jesus. And Jesus didn't tell the branches that they needed to prune themselves. My Father's the vine dresser. You abide in me. Oh, and by the way, I'll abide in you. And that will be our relationship. Because everything that abides in me produces fruit. Let's go to the next one. Next picture. I get so excited about this chart because this actually happened just days before I came on this trip. Okay, this, the fork in this vine, the vine below, notice the left side is all shaggy. That was a branch. But it has stayed connected to the vine. The one on the right is a new branch from last year. The one on the left is 2 years ago. When branches stay connected to the vine, over time, they look exactly like the vine. You make the connection, right? If you stay connected to Jesus, it's just a matter of time before you're going to look just like Jesus. Abide in me, remain in me. And then the Lord showed me, like, I had to cut all the dead wood off. Grapes don't drop branches. A lot of trees, oak trees, I have a lot of oak trees on my property. It'll just have this dead thing and then it breaks off. And, you know, we had in the winter, my son almost got hit by a branch of a huge thing of madrone, a 20-foot branch that snapped under the load of the snow. But grapes just hang on to everything. Jesus is the vine, and it's the Father who removes the dead wood. It's already stopped producing. There's no life left in it. But when you're the husbandman of a grape, those branches that get pruned, the vine continues to send life to them. So year after year, one method of pruning would be to take, just like you see here, that left side, all the branches that formed on that, I can prune it back to just an inch that I keep from this year's growth, and it'll start fresh and vigorous again. So the only way to keep the grape producing is to prune it. Branches that get left alone die. They'll produce for a while, and then they die. And there's nothing left. They're worthless. They just crumble and snap in your hands. Wow. Let's look at the next one. This is one of those fresh green grapes that I plucked about two, 3 days after I pulled it off. You can see the leaf is all shriveled. There's no life in it. Jesus has described this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, He's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire. Or to my goats, the green ones, before they wither, I throw them to the goats. Goats eat them up. So a question for us this morning is, what's your abiding look like? What are ways that you've learned to abide with Christ, to live with Him, and to surrender to His desire to live in you? Because He said, I'll be in you. If you'll be in me, I'll be in you. What's crazy is we spend so much of our time and so much of our lives trying to stay connected to Jesus, forgetting that He's trying to stay connected to us. We think of it's a one-sided relationship. And what we aren't studying right now is in the previous chapter, which I would highly encourage you to spend a lot of time in, because he's talking about the desire that the Holy Spirit is going to come and live not just with you, but in you. This is the nature of our relationship. The very life, the very Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in you who have professed Him as Lord and Savior. That's the nature of the relationship. So me trying to work to clean myself up and try and prune all the other stuff, I'm not doing the job that I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to do my Heavenly Father's job when I'm trying to clean up my life. So what am I supposed to do? If I'm not supposed to worry about the areas of sin in my life, what's my job? First, do I really trust that what Jesus is saying is true? That the things that shouldn't be a part of my life, that God the Father will take care of in time. And if I trust Him, then what am I to do if not try to clean myself up? Let's look back. You tell me. When you read these passages, as you hear these things, as you see these images, what is the duty, the task, the objective of the branch? Remain, abide, stay, be. For the doers in the room like me, that's like, okay, you're not saying anything. that doesn't help me. Like, so I need to do something. Yes, just stand there. Don't do anything. Put on the full armor of God, and when you've done everything to stand, stand there. Wait. Why did I get all suited up? Why am I carrying a sword and a shield and a helmet and a belt and my feet are ready? And breastplate. What am I, a museum piece? Because it's not my battle. It's not my effort that wins the war. It's not my faith that overcomes. Because the faith I have is just the application of the faith I was given as a gift in the first place. Oh, I just need more faith. No, you just need to exercise that little bit of faith that you have. Stand there. Abide with Christ. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Remain. Hold on to Him. Why? Because He's holding on to you. He's not going to let go of you. Now, if He's pruning something, let it go. Let it go. Because there's fruit that He wants to remain in your life. And there's certain areas that you might be fruitful in. And He's like, that's not what I have for you right now. There's a few of the limbs that I left. I don't have a picture of them, unfortunately. But I left a few, and they weren't growing next to the trellis. They were growing out towards the driveway, and there's no support out there. And they grew so vigorously, they got, you know, probably 4 or 5 feet long, and with nothing to grab onto, no support, the weight of the growth, they bent and twisted and snapped off. Well, one held on, but the others, I think the cats started playing with them and yanked them off. That's not in the Bible. We're not going to. Cats are demons, so we'll just leave it at that. Oh, did I say that out loud? dog person, cat person, are we? Okay. Jesus wants you to be fruitful. Bernice and I were having a great conversation about what's the fruit that Jesus intends. What's the fruit that the Father, the vine dresser, is after? And both of us, for many, many years, have felt like, you know, it's the fruit of winning other people to Jesus, or, you know, some other spiritual notch in your belt or something. But when I look at what's the fruit, the other analogy in Scripture that speaks of fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's not my fruit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the branch's fruit, it's the fruit of the vine that's produced in the branch that stays connected to the vine. It's the vine's fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that's developing in you simply by remaining in Christ. This should be the most liberating message. Because the disciples are freaking out. Jesus, you're leaving. It's not, you can't leave us alone. He's like, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Spirit. He's not going to just be with you like I am. He's going to be in you. The very life of the Father that is going to raise me from the dead. And I can't tell you that quite yet. That's the surprise at the end. But really, the very same Spirit that's going to bring me back to life is the life of God that's going to be in you and with you forever. And in fact, that life in you is the seal and the promise that I will come back for you. So all of my striving, all the get better, to get rid of this habit, do that, The Lord will take care of those things with the simplicity of the good news of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is near. And so when I stay remaining in Him and I allow the Word of God to clean me, I don't have to worry about all these other things. Let's go to the next one, Isaac. And once more, here we go. So here's what it looks like after I pulled 24 limbs off. Look at all those baby grapes ready to go. Bursting with life after the pruning. So we have really only two things from this text that are our responsibility. We'll say three. First, remain. Second, to submit to the pruning of the Father. You know, don't try and take the dead branch and put it back on. Or like, but God, that was such good work. I didn't want to leave this county. When a pastor called and said, would you move to Southern Oregon and be part of my team? And I didn't want to leave. But this is not my life. I gave up the right to choose where I live and what I do when I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Because Lord means He's in charge. So I went to the Lord with that invitation. Lord, I don't want to leave these people. I don't want to leave. It seems like you're doing all this stuff. There's all this fruit that's about to happen. And I was pruned and taken and planted somewhere else. And now we're bearing fruit there. And that church then, oh, I'm sorry, we can't afford to pay you anymore. And I got pruned again. And now we're in a new ministry and a new life. And one of the things I'm so excited about is as we come alongside ministry leaders around the state and around the world, we get to remind them that all the things, the visions God's given you, all the dreams, don't mean anything if you don't stay connected to Christ. So let's get back to that. Let's remember that he's reaching out to you, that he wants his life to flow through you. He wants you to be connected so that he can be in you and produce his spiritual fruit. And if you just hold on, don't chase after these other things, he will do it. Did I say all three? Abide. Submit to the pruning. And thirdly, submit to the flow of the Spirit in your life that produces the fruit. I don't want to have the Lord speak something that I'm unwilling to do. And he talks a lot in the next section, which we didn't read in chapter 15, about how obeying his commands is how you show that you love him. So when the Holy Spirit whispers to you something to do, I'm not going to get it right every time. But I'm going to confess my fault and I'm going to come back and, Lord, help me to obey. And I'm going to lean into his word because he's leading me somewhere that's going to produce fruit in my life. So remain. Submit to the pruning of the Father. And then be open to the flow of the Spirit in your life, so that the joy can flow through you to the next person. So the kindness of God can be demonstrated to your neighbor. So the gentleness is bubbling over in your marriage. So faithfulness is the mark of your family. That self-control is just your normal habit. And it's not because you worked hard to get it done. It's because Jesus is loving and gentle and gracious and merciful, and he's done the work by being in you, and the Father will prune everything that doesn't need to remain. And even some of the good stuff for your good. He'll go, can I have that? Do you trust me? Because this has fruit on it, and I'm going to take it away. Do you trust me? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. As I was praying for this time together, I know that there's so many things that can come to mind that we've been working hard to fix. And so with hands out in front holding those things in our mind's eye, Lord, this is my pride. Whatever it is for you, would you name it before the Lord who loves you? Lord, I hold in my hands my uncontrollable anger. Lord, I confess that I've been looking at things that I should not look at. Lord, I confess to you that I've been thinking things that are tearing others down in my own heart. Lord, I confess that I'm hurting. Lord, I confess that I don't trust you. Lord, I confess that I'm angry with you. Lord, I confess that I'm not sure what to do. But Lord, I'm going to trust that this word of yours to these disciples is for me. I'm going to believe that you really want to be in me. I'm going to believe that you love me. And Lord Jesus, I accept you and your life to be in me. Help me to remain in you. Lord, help me to trust you when I don't.
I surrender to you. All the power of surrender. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless every single person in this room today and those who will listen to this message in the future. That you would release us from the lie of a works-based righteousness. That you would set us free from our striving to please you. That we would really know you instead. That we would be content to sit with you and to run with you and to work with you and play with you and celebrate with you and to mourn with you. Just like Christ said that he only says what he hears from you, he only does what he sees you doing, Lord, we want to look like that. And so as we remain in you, Lord, we trust that we will begin to look more and more like you in your timing. And so we relinquish control of the results, which we never had in the first place. So Lord, the results are in your hands. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 I have just a couple final things. If Isaac, we get those last slides here. One more. So this is us. That's my wife, Michelle, if you haven't met her yet. And we would love for you to snap the QR code, see some more. If you're curious about Standing Stone Ministry and what we do and more of the details, we would love to share with you, like, how do we find ministry leaders to help? And where are we going to be traveling? And how are we funded? And all those questions. I'll be hanging out here. But you can go to the QR code. If the Lord is already impressed that you want to be part of the ministry, you can also just show your phone camera to that and click on the website. And there's an opportunity to partner with us financially and help us be available to reach ministry leaders. I also have some flyers with us, but may the Lord bless you and keep you. Anything else before we dismiss?
I want one other thing.
Okay. And thank you guys for having me. It's been a delight.
I got this mic. My name is not Mike, but I got a mic. So now I realized it's going to take me 3 years of vine dressing to understand how to abide in Christ. Aren't you grateful for that, that that's not the reality here? But something that strikes me, and as Micah was sharing the direction that the Lord has given for ministry, how priceless our ministers are. And I didn't bring the connection until just recently, just bringing John and Mike up here as well. I want you to think about this, that why doesn't the devil attack the family as much as he attacks the heads of the family? Why is there less demonic oppression over the church and more over the pastors? It's because he knows that he can wipe out everything if he can get the person that's at the top. Right? And so the reason why this kind of ministry is essential, and outside of the pastoral position, there's a context you're missing, but when you're inside of it, there's a whole different realm there. And you realize one of the things that made this kind of changed my perspective was this. I thought that pastoral life needed accountability, and it does. But what really highlighted, because I've been parts of ministries before, the pastoral life or missionary life or those in that sense, what it needs is support. It needs not to be always the ministry piece to help, but needs the ministry piece to help. And, you know, you remember Moses having his arms held up. And so I think that the Lord has already birthed a vision into Micah that this is bigger than fundraising. This is bigger than going out and meeting pastors. It is literally those that the devil has tried to take out of ministry and putting them back into Jesus and whatever the Lord wants to do with them. And you don't know, but those things could be just as much as important to me as it is anybody else. And so every minister looks back to those who were standing stone to them and helped them along the way. So what I want to do is, before we just finalize, and then in the back, and Micah, you would like to meet folks who want to spend some time with Micah just after the service, just meet in the back with him, ask questions, spend time together, and get more of an understanding of the ministry. But what I want to do is, right now, I want to pray for the, is that my phone? Okay. What I want to do is pray for the leaders in ministry that need this ministry. The men that are tucked in, that are trying to do everything they can. And believe me, as pastors, one of our struggled images is that I've got to look strong when I am as dead weak as possible. Like, I'm missing my limbs. I've been shot up. I'm not hardly alive anymore, and I'm barely breathing, but yet I'm going to look like I'm alive for you so that you guys can be encouraged. So that ministry is for the hidden pastors out there. So I believe you guys have the heart for ministers beyond just me, but I'm grateful you have one for me too. And let's pray together. So if you would, let's stand together. We're going to pray for the ministers. Cry out to the Lord for his touch of ministry on them, because the Lord hasn't forsaken them, but they get lost in trying to help people, and they forget about Jesus sometimes. So let's pray for the ministers this morning as we just close our time together. Father, thank you so much that we get to be together in this ministry. Thank you so much that we are the heart cry of your heart to those, Lord, who are living examples and loving and thriving in the gospel of Jesus, and those, Lord, who need to abide in you more. Father, that need to be back, romanced back, as it were, into the very center of their life, and that is you. And Lord, when men and women are loving you and surrendering to you and abiding in you, that means the life comes out of them. Lord, fruitfulness happens as a result of it. And Jesus, we want to pray for those that are losing the fruitfulness, that are becoming dying branches, Lord, and for some reason lost the sense of what it means to walk with you again. So, Father, rebirth. Lord, I want to pray, Father, as Micah and Michelle enter into this ministry, that you would rebirth into the hearts of those that once carried the vision of just living near you, to be rejoined to that, remarried to you, as it were, a branch that's been broken off and regrafted in for your name's sake. Lord, our hearts cry as ministries will prosper, churches that are dying because ministers have lost the call of God on their life or losing the fruitfulness of being with you. Lord, we want to pray that you'd rekindle that fire in their lives. In Jesus' name. Church, let's pray in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we want to pray for those ministers that their legacy is going to die if they don't know how to get back to abiding in Jesus, how to live a fruitful life of being close to you, Jesus. We want to pray for that legacy to not die today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Father, thank you today. We are worshiping the living God. And Lord, I thank you for reaching out and ministering to the ministers today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for ministries. They're going to be revitalized because men, Father, have a renewed passion, a renewed love for their Savior, a renewed love for the God who gave them life and breath. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, let's just thank Him. Let's give Him praise for the men that are being restored, the women that are being restored. Their lives that are not restored to ministry. Oh, we're praising you, Lord, for that. But we're just praising most and foremost. They're being restored to God. Hallelujah. There's some ministers that have had some moral failures. And Jesus, we're going to thank you for bringing them back into the fold. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we're going to thank you for the ministers whose lives and marriages have been absolutely wrecked, Lord, and almost on the verge of divorce or at divorce, and you're going to bring them back, Lord, to faithful, enjoyable testimony and service and a wonderful testimony for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. If there's anybody that has a need for prayer, you just feel the need to come to the altar, please do. Isaac, if you would, just a little bit in the background. We're going to have some music just quietly in the background while we just seek the Lord. And if the Lord has laid a special burden on your heart for ministers today, make sure that you don't step away or have another conversation that might avoid the opportunity to pray for them. And thank you for listening to the Lord. Amen.